Okay, good morning. I had a class today prepared a class yesterday morning to talk about. I was asked to speak about the subject of Emunah, and I prepared a class yesterday morning talking about how much Hashem loves us and how much Hashem protects us and how calm we should feel walking around in the world knowing this, that the one who runs the world is taking care of us. But then when we heard the tragic news yesterday and our hearts go out for those families, our hearts are breaking, may Hashem console them, I felt that when I'm talking, people might be thinking in the back of their minds, Hashem loves me, Hashem protects me, so how could such a thing happen? So then I said, maybe we'll switch gears. Maybe we'll talk about how to deal with such a tragedy. But then we said, it's not really the right setting. You know, it's really more of a shul type of class with a host of speakers, of great rabbis who know what to say. It's not really my place. So what I decided in the end was, we're just going to talk about it for 5 minutes because we can't not. And then we'll talk about something more lighter afterwards. So I came home yesterday for dinner, and my wife told me that the children heard about it in camp, or people told them about what happened. And she said that my daughter was a little nervous. She's scared. You know, she's actually, last year, we had a burglar, and we came into the house. He was there. So it's scary. We, Baruch Hashem, we didn't lose anything. We caught him before he got anything. But my daughter was traumatized last year. So she's a little scared. So now she hears this. I asked her at the dinner table, I said, you know, how does this make you feel? She says, I'm scared. Scared of what? I'm scared of kidnappers. I said, so what comforting words could we tell the children when such a thing happens? So I told my daughter, I said that we believe be'emunah shelema.
How old is your daughter?
My daughter is 9 years old. So we believe with a full emunah. The Chovot Lebavot tells us no one could lift a finger against a person in this world without Hashem giving the say beforehand. There's a pasuk in Echa that says, Mi ze amar vatehi Hashem lo siva. Who could say they're going to do something without Hashem commanding it first? There's no such thing. If anybody ever gets harmed or whatever happens, it's all being orchestrated. We're never subject to, you know, happenstance and you know, the wrong place at the wrong time. There's no such thing. And for whatever reason, if Hashem decides something's going to happen, so it's going to happen no matter what. We're going to hide in the house and, you know, maybe we won't go out anymore into the streets because we're scared. There's no such thing. Hashem is still the Shomer Yisrael. Hashem is still our protection. And our job is, we live life normally. We live life the way it's supposed to be. Of course, we're not allowed to act reckless. You're not allowed to just go and say, oh, Hashem's going to save me, so I'll go. Of course not. It says in the Torah, Ushmartem me'od et nafshotechem. You have to guard your life. You have to take precaution. You have to do what you think is the right thing to do. But under normal circumstances, once you're living life normally, the Shomer Yisrael is with you wherever you are. If you are not meant to be harmed, nobody could harm you. It's impossible. They'll make a wrong turn. They'll get stopped here. Whatever it is, as long as you're living your life the normal way, we are always protected. The Brisker Rav, during the time when they were dropping bombs, there was a question: where is the proper place to take protection? Should we be in the basement downstairs, or should we be on the top floor? There was a question: what to do? So the Brisker Rav was walking around in the top story, and he was totally calm. So they asked him. They said, "Rabbi, how could you be so calm? It's very dangerous. There's bombs flying." So he said, I had a question. What's the proper place to be at this time? Should I be in the basement? What's more safe? Where does Hashem want me to be? He says, I worked it out according to the halakha that they're both the same. There's no difference between the basement and the roof. And therefore, I know now I'm following Ratzon Hashem. Whatever's going to happen after that is out of my hands. Doesn't matter where I am. Because whatever's going to be is going to be. Once I did my due diligence, I'm off the hook. I'm totally calm. They said, I don't know if it was the same time or a different time, but he was on also in his bedroom on a higher place, and there was bombs, and the children were saying, Dad, come down to the basement. You have to come down. It's dangerous. He said, it's not dangerous. This is a prop. It's okay. And they said, begging him, come down. He says, okay, if you want me to come down, I'll come down. 5 minutes later, a grenade comes through the window in his bedroom, hits his bed, right in the spot where he was. So his children say, see, Dad, we told you. The father said, what do you mean you told me? He says, you owe me money for that mattress and that pillow and my window is broken. He said, what are you talking about? He says, if I was there, the bomb wouldn't have fell. We would have been protected. I did my due diligence already. I followed the halakha. That's it. Whatever's going to happen after that is out of my hands. And I know Hashem is protecting. So to walk around with this has to be explained to the children that Hashem is always running the show. No matter what it seems like on the outside, it looks like this person has control. This one could do this against Hashem. There's no such thing. So wherever we feel, wherever we go, we always have to have that same feeling of protection. No matter where we are, Hashem is the only one in charge. Now, the question is, and this is we'll conclude this topic with this: if Hashem loves us so much, and Hashem protects us, so how could it happen? And this is the age-old question that has been asked for centuries. This is the question that's been discussed by the Tanaim. The Nevi'im asked this question. Even Moshe Rabbeinu himself asked this question to God. How could seemingly bad things happen to good people? And Hashem told him the answer. Hashem told him, Lo yir'ani ha'adam b'hai. The answer to this question cannot be known in Olam Hazeh. You cannot know my ways in this world and still live. Why? Because this is one of the main tests of life is believing that Hashem is merciful and loving, although it doesn't seem that way to our eyes all the time. If everything would be so clear, we don't call it emunah. What do you mean have emunah? I don't need emunah. I open my eyes and I see. Hashem said, you have to have an area, people have to have free choice in life. It can't be obvious that people who are good get good, people who are bad get bad, then there's no point in the world. So we're not going to know the answer to the question, no matter how hard we try. But we don't know the thousands of other times when terrorists have tried to harm us and nothing happened. We don't know about that. We only hear the one instance when they do get, when they are successful. What about all the other times that Hashem is protecting? What about the hundreds and thousands of times in every single person's life that you have no clue what you were just saved from? We don't know what happened here, what happened there. Hashem is behind the scenes at all times. But we hear the one incident and it knocks us off balance. How could Hashem do this? But what about the other trillion things that He's doing all the other times? So the one question, the other areas of life where we see the good of Hashem all the time is supposed to be a springboard for us. We're supposed to use those times and say, "Lahagid baboker chazdecha ve'emunatcha balelot." In the morning, when we see the goodness of Hashem, we have to acquire the emunah. Believe Hashem is great, Hashem knows what He's doing. And then in the nighttime, when it's dark and we have questions and we say, what's going on over here? This is against everything we've been learning about for all these years. That's when emunatecha balelot plays its role. That's when emunah comes to life. All the other times are in preparation for these times where it's dark, we don't understand, how could this be? Hashem loves us, how could it happen? All that is in preparation. And the truth is, there are so many hasadim, so many kindnesses that are happening all day long. Someone just came over to me this week in shul on Shabbat, and he said, Hashem is so great. Hashem is so great. I said, what happened? He came to my class before Mincha, and he pulled me over afterwards. He said, 6 months ago, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor, lo aleinu. And the doctor said he's going to have to drill in my head, and he said there's going to be permanent brain damage, but that's the only way to save you. And I started crying and praying and this and that. And I said, Hashem, please save me. I know you could save me. And he put on his, in the office, and the doctor, he wrote on the hospital charts, he had a big sign, En od milibado. There's nothing other than Hashem. Hashem's in charge. And he said, I prayed and cried. And he said, I went to my rabbi and I said, Rabbi, I know this is in Hashem's hands. Tell me what I should do. I don't want good dealing with the regular conventional means. The rabbi said, tell Hashem that you want to keep your head in order so you can learn his Torah. Are you learning Torah? He says, no. He says, accept upon yourself that you're going to learn Torah every single day for the rest of your life, no matter what. He said, I will do it right now. I accept upon myself to learn the Daf Yomi. And he asked Hashem for a nes, really. And when he went in for the day of his surgery, he said, before they did the surgery, they took another scan, and it was blank. There was nothing there. It was totally gone. And he says, Rabbi, I have the before picture and the after picture. I'll show it to you. It's an open nes. This is a chasadim. Gomle, Hashem is doing chasadim all the time. Now, although we see contradictions, there's no contradiction. We don't understand, but it's not a contradiction. We believe also be'emunah shelema, that these three boys, these precious, innocent boys, all lived out the exact amount of days that was destined for them. Hashem had, before they were born, a certain amount of days allotted for them, and they all lived out their days. They could have been taken in a car accident, lo aleinu. They could have been taken in many other ways. Hashem, and as hard as it is to say, in His infinite kindness, Hashem took them al kiddush Hashem. It says in the Gemara, someone who dies al kiddush Hashem is taken into the highest levels of Gan Eden. No one's allowed into where they are. Pure, innocent boys, they're in the greatest place in the world right now. We don't understand because we're not in Olam Haba, we're not in the next world. But Hashem brought them because their purity and because they were a korban for our generation. They are in the highest place of Gan Eden. And the millions of prayers, Hashem didn't allow us to know this for 18 days. The millions of prayers, three times a day, hundreds of thousands of Jews praying. Every single one of those prayers is credited to their merit, to their zechut in the next world, because they were the cause of hundreds of thousands of people getting closer to Hashem through those prayers. And each additional prayer was to their credit. So we didn't know. It was also to their benefit. And furthermore, the unity, the unification of Klal Yisrael that was caused by them. We're seeing unprecedented unity where people of all stripes and all colors are hugging and getting together and gathering and crying and praying. And it was a beautiful sight. Even the mothers of the children were in awe of such a beautiful... It was widespread across the world. And all of this unity was all caused by them. And they are also receiving the credit. So, on one hand, you know, we hear tragic things and it really breaks our hearts and we wish it would be otherwise. But the truth always has to be the truth. Everything always remains the same. Hashem is the loving God. Hashem is protecting us. Hashem is with you throughout the day. He's the Shomer Yisrael, Shomer She'erit Yisrael, 24/7 He's protecting. And even when it doesn't appear that way, He's also protecting. And of course, we have to sympathize, we have to feel the pain of the people, we have to mourn now with them, but we must always remember, there's no contradictions, it's always the same. Shema Yisrael, we say, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem is Yudke Vavke, is the God, is the Midah of mercy, Elokim, Elokeinu is the Midah Tadin. Sometimes it appears Hashem is acting in mercy, sometimes in Deen. But we conclude saying Hashem Echad. It's always Yud Kei Vav. It's all Rahamim. In this world, we don't understand. It's the world of questions. And that's where emunah is so important. It comes into play to allow us to move on and allow us to accept. So this is the small thing that I wanted to say about this event. It's something we're never going to forget. It's something that's going to be in our hearts all the time. But we must always remember there's no contradictions. Hashem is loving. Hashem is our wonderful Father. He loves us more than a child. He's still protecting you. You should still walk around with the same feeling, good feelings, that Hashem is with me. Although we're not even worthy, doesn't matter. It says in this week's parasha that Hashem saved the Jewish people from the plots of Bil'am. What merit did the Jewish people have to be saved from Bil'am? So if you look all the way in Parashat Ki Teseh, it says over there, Hashem did not allow Bil'am to hurt his people. Why? Ki ahev echa Hashem, because Hashem loves you. That's it. You don't need any merits. I love you, you're my people, I always do everything for your benefit. Hashem is in charge, Hashem is in control. And that's the message that I want to give you today as a small insight on this very difficult time that we're dealing with. Now, we really came today, originally, this was supposed to be a class, I believe, on positive thinking, positive thoughts. And I imagine the idea behind it is, think good and it'll be good. Right? I once heard that saying, think good and it'll be good. Now, we all want good results in life. Everyone wants good. We want to be successful. We want blessing. We don't want to always answer up. We want to see real good, good that makes sense to us. So I'm not an expert on positive thinking. I don't know too much about it. But I want to give you today an advice similar, I think, on how to have success in all of your endeavors in life. What is, because that's what we're here. We want success. We want beracha. How to bring beracha into your lives? The answer is very simple. The secret to success. David HaMelech told his son Shlomo in a prophecy. It's in Tehillim. On the day that he was going to build the Beit HaMikdash, it says, Shira Ma'alot, Im Hashem lo yibne bayit. He told his son Shlomo, if Hashem will not build this house, shav amelu bonav bo, then all the builders and the building is going to be in vain. He told his son, you may have all the money in the world, you're the richest man in the world, you may have all the manpower, you may have the greatest architects, you have the greatest engineers, but if you're lacking the all-important ingredient of siyata dishmaya, of Hashem's help, then all of your toil will be in vain. And then he said, Im Hashem lo yishmor ir, if Hashem will not protect the city, shav shakad shomer, then the guardians are guarding in vain. David said, you may have the best army, you may have a fantastic form of guarding, you may have great ammunition, but if you don't have Hashem protecting, then the army is guarding in vain as well. The secret to success in life is Hashem's help. That's it. When you have Hashem's help, you have success. When you don't have Hashem's help, you don't have success. David HaMelech himself was the most important man in the world. He was the king. He was the Rosh Sanhedrin. He had wealth. He had everything. And he said about himself, you know what I'm like? Kegamul ale imo. I'm like a suckling baby in his mother's arms. A baby gets everything from the mother. There's nothing that it has on its own. Similarly, David said, everything I have in life is a gift from Hashem. There's nothing that I have on my own. I'm helpless without Hashem. There's a beautiful pasuk. It says, Umiyadecha natnu lach. He says, everything we give you, Hashem, we give you from what you give us. From your hand, we give you back. Somebody has a lot of money and they give charity. It's a beautiful thing. They're going to be credited for every dollar they give. But they have to know, it's from your hand, Hashem, that we're giving you back. You gave us and we're just giving it right back to you. And the more we feel that everything we have is a gift, we don't deserve anything, it's all Hasdei Hashem, we just constantly thank Hashem, you give me more than I deserve, I don't deserve anything, Hashem, it's all of your chesed, that will bring more blessing to your lives. I just told a story the other day about showing Hakarat HaTov, showing recognition and thanking Hashem. I read a story, there was a wealthy man. He came to a certain place in Israel called Ezra LaMarpeh. It was a type of organization that helps people with medical problems. So a wealthy donor came and he donated a lot of money he was discussing having a meeting with the rabbi, Rabbi Fuhrer, and the rabbi thanked him very much. He says, we want to go to the Kotel now. It's late at night, let's go pray by the Kotel. So they both went to the Kotel and they're standing by the wall and they're ready to pray and they see next to them, they see a man in his mid-50s and he's bawling, he's crying his eyes out. And they said, rabbi said to the donor, he said, this is not a coincidence. We are here now. This man needs our help. We must help him. So he said, okay, whatever you say, let's help him. So they tap him on the shoulder. The rabbi says, excuse me. He says, do you need any medical help? I could assist you. The man says back, I don't need any medical help. Baruch Hashem, I'm fine. Everything's well. But thank you for offering. Then the wealthy man asked him, do you need financial assistance? If you need financial assistance, I could help you. He says, thank you very much. Hashem is so kind. He gave me everything I need. I don't need any financial assistance. So they said, well, do you mind us asking you? Why are you crying so much if everything's so well? He said, you want to know why I'm crying? He said, last night I married off my last child. He had a very large family. I didn't say in the story how many children he had, 12 children. And he married off his final child. And he said, Chasdei Hashem, I'm crying because of all the kindness that Hashem has showed me throughout these years. Every single day he just bestows more chesed and more chesed upon me. How could I not be brought to tears thinking of all the wonderful kindnesses of Hashem? When we know everything we have is from Hashem, it brings more blessing. Hashem loves when we have Hakarat HaTov. And it doesn't matter really what you have. Success, like we said, depends on the blessing of God. Shlomo HaMelech said, I lived in this world and I observed everything Tahat HaShemesh. And I'll tell you my observations. Lo Lakalim HaMerotz. The race is not won by the swift. Lo LaGiburim HaMelchama. The wars are not won by the strong. Lo LaHachamim Lechem. And the wise men are not the ones who end up with the money. Rather, Birkat Hashem Hita Ashir. What will bring blessing? One thing. Birkat Hashem. You have it, you're in. You don't have it, you're not. You could have two people applying for the same job. One person is much more qualified than the other. He has more experience. He seems more presentable. And the other man gets the job. How could that happen? This man had Birkat Hashem, this man didn't. You could have two people going out on Shiduchim. It's a shoo-in. This girl's a shoo-in. She's the catch of the century. And the other one, well, we pray that she finds someone. And all of a sudden, the other one's married and the catch of the century is still not. Why? Birkat Hashem, that's the key in life. And if you want Birkat Hashem, you have to know, I can't do anything myself. Before we do anything in life, Hashem, I know it's you, I need you. That's it. That's the recipe for success. Because when you know this, you don't need reminders. Hashem sometimes has to remind us for our own good. Because if you go through the world without realizing that, you miss the boat. We have to go through the world and develop a relationship and know that we're depending on Hashem. I just read a story the other day of a boy in the yeshiva world. So it's similar to when you're trying to get into colleges. You know, there's Ivy League schools and there's regular schools. And so in the yeshiva world, there's also like an Ivy League school. There's like the Brisker Yeshiva, it's like Ivy League. And there was a boy in his yeshiva, and he was telling all his friends, when I graduate high school, I'm going to this place, like the top place. He's going to the top, like, what, how you get it? He says, my father went there, my grandfather went there. I'm a shoo-in. I'm guaranteed into that place. Wow, wow, you're the man, you know, you're getting into that yeshiva. Two boys said, we're going to try to get in. You know, we're trying our hardest. We hopefully have connections, something. We're trying. Maybe we'll all go together. So they all wake up one day, the day of the test to go to get into that yeshiva. And this boy, who's confident, gets up. He's loosey-goosey. He's going. The other people are all nervous. So don't be nervous. Don't worry. And they all go for the test. And he didn't study as much as them. But they go through the test. They asked, how was it? How was it? It was good. Yeah, I think I did okay. A few days later, they send back the results. They get letters in the mail. And lo and behold, the boy who thought he's a shoo-in was rejected. Sorry, you're not invited to the yeshiva. And the other two boys got in. And the boy could not believe it. He was devastated. I'm telling everyone in my class, I'm in. It's my thing. This is, I'm it. I was like, it was a guarantee. He told his friends, please don't tell anybody. I'll be a laughing stock. You can't tell anybody about this. Okay. Then they were having their senior trip. The senior trip is in that school. They all go for a weekend to somewhere in the mountains. And they all give speeches and talk about their 4 years in school. So they're in the mountains. The boy said, I'm not going to let this ruin my trip. He goes to the mountains. And they're sitting Friday night. Everyone's giving a speech about themselves, about the school. So the boy, he's the last speaker, this boy. He gets up. And he tells everybody, he says, everybody, you gave a touching speech. It was beautiful speeches. I want to tell you something personal now about me. He says, you know how I've been telling you all that I'm getting into the best yeshiva? Yeah. He says, I didn't get in. Everyone's, oh, I didn't get in and I'm very embarrassed and I feel terrible. But on the other hand, I'm very thankful to Hashem. So why are you thankful to Hashem? He said, I'm very glad that Hashem taught me the lesson while I'm young rather than when I'm old. What lesson? He said, I went in so cocky, so sure of myself. I said, I don't need you, Hashem, for this. I'm a shoo-in. And Hashem has taught me there's no such thing as a shoo-in. You always need me. And I thank you publicly, Hashem, for the lesson now. I know I always need your help. From here on in, I will never feel this way again. The 12th grade, the principal of the school, and all the boys heard this. They had tears in their eyes from such a thought from a boy like this. And the principal was so touched. He called up the principal of the other yeshiva after Shabbat. And he said, I know I sent you some boys and one didn't get in. He said, yeah, he didn't get in. I'm sorry. You know, in our place, you have to be top notch. We don't accept anybody unless you top this. He said, I really want you to make an exception. I never ask you. But if you would have heard this boy speak on Shabbat, and he told them over the whole speech, and they actually reconsidered, and they allowed him into the yeshiva, and he got into the yeshiva in the end. But he needs the recognition. You need the recognition. Hashem lo yivne bayit. If you don't have Hashem's help, shav amlu bonavo, then you're working in vain. I gave a class a few weeks ago, I don't know when it was, but I gave a class, and sometimes you could tell if the class is good or if it's not good. So I felt that the class came out very well. You know, you could tell if the audience is listening, they're not listening, they're enjoying, they're not enjoying. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, the class came out very well. So someone asked me to speak somewhere else, and I said, okay, I'll do it. Have the perfect class. It's a shoo-in, it's a guarantee. You know, this was a winner, this class. So I said, no problem, I'll do it. So I go to give the other class, and I was confident. I give the other class, bombed out. Nobody laughed at any of the jokes. Nobody was lit. No, all the other one, they were all giving, ooh, ah, this, that. This one, the stone-faced. I said, Hashem, you taught me the lesson. I'm never going to do this again. You can't go in saying, this is a good one. I'm in. There's no such thing as I'm in. You always need the help of Hashem. That's what will bring success in your life. And when we know this, then we don't have to live our lives, you know, doing things to impress other people. We could work on impressing the boss, because that's all that matters anyway. Why should we waste our time with the workers? Let's work, impress the boss. A 20-year-old boy told me the other day, he said he got a new job, and he was very nervous about the new job. He says he got a job in public relations firm, and you know, he says I wanted to do my best to impress the people. I want to impress everybody there. Okay, on it, makes sense. So he says the second day in the job, I'm the only Jew there really, from the workers. Second day in the job, the goyim there, they invite me out for lunch with them. He said he invited him out for lunch. He said, I know they're not going to eat kosher. He says, but on the other hand, I don't want to tell them no. How could I not go with them? So he said, I decided, nah, he's not, you know, he's not, he would sit in a non-kosher restaurant maybe, and, you know, maybe I'll get something that's not so bad, or have a drink. So he said, I'm going to go. So he goes with them, and he's on his way to the restaurant. And then he sees across the street, he says, I saw a pizza place. I didn't know there was any kosher restaurants around here. He said, I saw a kosher pizza store. I said, how could I go now and sit with these goyim and eat non-kosher when there's a kosher pizza store right across the street? He said, I can't do it. You know what? I'm going to the kosher. He tells the people, he says, I forgot something. I'm sorry. I'll catch up with you soon. And he goes to the pizza store. He goes into the pizza store. He sees on a table there, someone sitting alone. It was one of his friends or acquaintances from high school. He says, let me go sit next to him. He says, oh, how are you? How are you doing? What are you up to? He says, oh, I just got a job in PR. And, you know, it's my second day. He says, PR? He says, I work with my father. We're looking for a PR firm. And we've been looking for months. We don't have anything good. Maybe you have. He says, oh, ours is the best. Ours is number one. We give the best prices, the best this, the best that. He's going on and on. He said, maybe it's good. We'll set up a meeting. The boy is all excited. He goes back to the office. He tells this. He says, I walked up to the senior vice president and I told him, I think I got you a client. He says, what? On the second day, you got me a client? I got you a big client. And they set up a meeting. And it was a success. And he got the job, he got the commission, he got it. And the boy said, I'm thinking to myself, he said, why should I bother impressing the goyim workers when I could impress the real boss? The real boss is where success comes. And he said, that client was sitting in that kosher store the whole time. If I would have missed it, I would have missed it. You don't know, we don't know how many opportunities we have. We miss from putting our marbles in the wrong place, putting our... The opportunities are there. Work on impressing the boss and have less concentration on impressing his workers. Now Hashem watches everything we do. We can be rest assured, there's nothing that goes unnoticed in life. Everything we do, the more L'shem Shamayim you are, the more blessing it brings, because I'm doing it solely for Hashem. If we would know we're being watched, our days would probably be so different. Knowing Hashem is watching me now, wow, you know, we don't know what we're getting out of everything. I read a story, just that brings it out. I read a story from a Rabbi Nachman Seltzer. He brought out a story about the following incident, which I think is very telling about our lives. He said that there was someone got a phone call one day. They said, your son is starting to go out, I heard. You know, we have a good girl for him. They said, oh, who's the girl? He said, there's a girl here, she's perfect, this, that. I'll give you all the references. Gives all the references. He says, okay, I know this Rebbetzin, I'll call her and ask. She calls up the Rebbetzin. The Rebbetzin says, oh, this girl, sterling midot, honest, great family, everything's good. There's just one thing. She has a physical blemish, which you might not be so happy with. I think you should go look at her first. What's wrong? She has a very noticeable scar on her face. and, you know, could be a turnoff. You'll see for yourself. I know she's going to be at a wedding tonight. Go see for yourself the scar. And when the woman heard that, she said, you know what, forget it. You know, not for me. The Rebbetzin said, trust me, she's a good girl. I want you to go. Just out of respect for the Rebbetzin, I'll go. So she goes to the wedding, uninvited. She gets there, she's in the middle of the dancing. She asks, where's this girl? Her name was, I think, Ruthie. I forgot what her name was. Sari. Where's Sari? Sari? Oh, that's the girl over there in the black and white dress dancing. She's watching her. Okay, looks like a nice girl. She's dancing in the circle with all her friends, like all other weddings. She's observing her. And then she notices that Sari gets out of the circle for a minute. And she walks over. She's watching her. She walks over to the corner of the wedding to someone sitting at a table alone. She goes and sits down next to her and she starts talking to this girl. This girl looked very overweight and shy. And after she finished talking to her, she got up, she stretched out her hand and she said, come with me. And the girl took her hand and they went to the dance floor. And she brought the girl in the middle of the dancing and they were dancing and she livened up the whole, you know, everybody was happy she was finally there and it was very, very heartwarming to see. And she said, this woman observing said, what scar? I don't see any scar over there. Look, what a beautiful, beautiful midah. In the middle of her enjoying with her friends, she looks over to see someone in the corner. She says, I want this girl. She goes home and tells her husband, I saw the greatest girl, great. And a few months later, they're celebrating the engagement of their son to this girl. Now, this girl had no idea that she was being watched. She doesn't know she's being watched. She thinks she's just too. But she's being observed and noticed and it's being taken into account and you are being, that's your ticket to getting married. If I would have knew that in advance, wow. I get married by going over to somebody. I would have done it in, we don't know. That's the story of our lives. We are being watched all the time. Hashem is seeing our good deeds. We don't know what's causing what. We do. If we knew, wow, I don't know, I'm getting that for that. But that's the way we have to feel at all times. We're being observed. Hashem, He's looking for us to do good deeds so He could give us good. He wants to give us good. Somebody told me, another man told me this Shabbat. I'm very lucky. People are telling me stories. I feel very fortunate. Another man said, I have a good story for you. I said, okay, what's your story? He said, it happened 9 years ago. I said, okay, it doesn't matter. He said, I was going through a hard time and I couldn't find my wife. I couldn't get married, this, that. I'm dating and I'm sick of it and I couldn't take it anymore and I'm getting older. And I just wanted to get married already. And whatever, it was. He told me other problems he was having in his life. So he said that it was a Monday morning. Someone called me up and they said, we're going today to Camp Simcha. You want to come? I know you wanted to do Chesed. He said, Kam Sima, he said, I told you I want to do Chesed. I want to do something, L'Shem Shamayim, Chesed. He says, but Monday morning I have work. How am I going to go? He said, well, we're going today. If you want to come, you could come. He said, you know what? This is a great opportunity for me to just do a pure kindness. You know, it's boys' day there. There's no girls, not mine. Just pure kindness. He says, I'm taking off of work. I'm going. And he said he went to the camp to help the people. And he was enjoying the day, doing as much as he could. And then he notices, he said there was one girl there. So what is this girl doing here? She looked interesting to him. Someone said, oh, she wanted to do chesed so badly today. She made a mistake. She thought it was girls' day. And she came all the way up here, and it was an accident. It wasn't girls' day, and now she's just waiting to go home. He said, wow, she wanted to do chesed so much. He inquired about her. He ended up asking to go out with her, and turns out that he married her. And he said, this girl actually lived 3 blocks away from me my whole life. I never heard of her. And she wasn't even supposed to, you know, there wasn't room in the car for her to go. She was going with other people, family members. I don't know what it was, he says, but maybe it took a helicopter. I don't know what he said. But she just got there and he saw her, and that was the pure chesed that he did. He immediately reaped the benefits that Hashem immediately found his zivuk. Blessing comes when we act l'shem shamayim. when we do things for the right reasons. I told a story a few months ago about a man. It was a woman. She was on the side of the road. She was on the side of the road, an older lady with a tire problem. Tire blew out. She's sitting on the side of the road, and there was a man, we'll call him Joey Cohen. I didn't know exactly what his name was. You heard that one already? Okay, I'll skip it. Anyone here not hear it?
I didn't hear it.
Okay, I'll say it. So anyway, this guy Joey Cohen is driving home from work, and he's a mechanic, and he sees out of the corner of his eye this old lady in the car. She's in a Mercedes, he's in this rough, old sedan type of car. He pulls up to her and says, "Excuse me, could I help you?" She says, no, I'm okay." She's scared of the guy. He says, "No, let me help you. What do you have? You obviously have a tire problem. I could help. I could fix it. It's my job, you see?" She says, "Okay." He says, she was actually outside. It was cold. He says, "Go back in the car. Enjoy the hot car. I'll take care of everything." She says, "Okay." She's very nervous from him. He's lifting up the car. He's changing the tire. He does the whole thing. In the middle of changing the tire, he scraped up his hand very badly on the concrete. He says, "Ow," but it was okay. And he finished the job. He told her, "You're good to go." She says, "Wow, how much do I owe you?" He said, "Ma'am," he says, "I've been helped a lot in my life. I like to do good things for people. I don't charge. But if you want to pay me back, the next time that you see somebody who needs help, think about me and you help them." She said, "Okay, wow, thank you very much." So she starts driving away. She's going down the road, and she's a little hungry. She stops off at this little restaurant. She goes to get a quick tuna sandwich. She sits down at the table, and she notices the waitress there waiting on tables. She's in her 8th month of pregnancy. The waitress comes over to her, so nice, cheery, smiley. She gives her wet napkins to clean her hands. "What can I get you? How's everything? How's this, that?" She says, "What is this woman doing over here in her 8th month waiting on tables? Hazita?" She says, "And how could she be so nice? It's such, you know, she should be grumpy." And she remembers Joey Cohen. "Wow, there's nice people in the world." She said, "This girl probably needs my help. I want to help her." So she gets her sandwich, she eats quickly. She gets the bill, $7. She gives the waitress $100. She says, "Please give me change." She goes to get the change. She comes back, the woman's gone. She gave her a $93 tip. She looks on the table. She sees under the napkin another $400 or $500 under the napkin. She said, "What's this?" It says a note. She says, "This is for you." She says, I see you could use a little help." She says, "People are nice to me in life and they help me. I want to return the favor and I want to help you. Keep the chain going. The next time you see someone needs help, you help them." So she was so happy. "Wow, you don't know how much I needed this money. We're having a baby, I'm poor, I'm getting $3 tips." So she was so excited to go home and tell her husband this nest that happened to her. And she goes home that night, and she's so excited, but she sees her husband sleeping already on the couch. He fell asleep, and she looks at him, and she says, "Oh, my dear husband, you probably had a hard day's work. You're probably so nervous about the baby." And then she sees his hand with the scratches on his hand, and she says, "Oh no, what happened to him?" She says, "Joey Cohen, I love you." And that was, she immediately they got it back. You did something, L'Shem Shamayim. You do something, L'Shem Shamayim. Hashem rewards it back. Beautiful, beautiful hasadim. When we act L'Shem Shamayim, we see benefits. And our good deeds, they go so far. You don't know what they cause. You know, besides for our own benefit, the good that we do to other people benefits them so much. We're not always zoche to see the good. We don't always see how much our goodness accomplishes, but we have to know one day Hashem will show you every single deed that you did, how much it accomplished, what it did. I just want to tell you one more story. that I said before also, I want to tell you one more story about how sometimes Hashem shows us the good deeds that we do. He shows you the ripple effects. He shows you what they accomplish. This story was told a few months ago by Rabbi Eisenman. He said that there was a man who pulled into the CVS parking lot one day, and he sees on the floor a bulging wallet of cash. It's a bulging wallet of cash. He says, this is unbelievable. He picks up the wallet. He looks at the wallet. He says, whose is this? He sees on the driver's license, it's a Latino name. He says, Goy, you have to return it, not have to return it. He says, you know what? I want to make a Kiddush Hashem. I'm going to return the wallet and make Kiddush Hashem. So he goes up to the counter in the CVS, and he says, he has a beard and a kippah, and he says, I found a wallet in the parking lot. You know whose this is? And the attendant behind the cashier says, she's noticing the money. She says, wow, it's a lot of money. She says, let me see. She looks at it. She says, oh, I could find out. Don't worry, I could take care of it for you. Don't worry, I'll find him. He goes out back to shop to get what he needs. He comes back later to the counter. He says, what happened with that wallet? She says, I returned it already. The man came back. I called him up. He came back and got it. He says, what? He got it already? I wanted to make Kiddush Hashem. I wanted to show him, look how good the Jews are. He says, okay, if this is what Hashem wants, this is what Hashem wants. And that was the end of his Kiddush Hashem. A couple of weeks later, this man gets a phone call. They call him up and they say, someone says, Mazel Tov. Thank you for helping me with my wedding. He says, hello? What are you talking about? What wedding? What are you talking about? He says, did you return a wallet at the CVS a few weeks ago? He says, yes. He says, you don't know what you did for me. He says, what'd I do for you? He says, well, we were on the way from Monroe to Newark Airport. My son was getting married in England, and we were catching the last flight out there for the wedding. And we stopped off at the CVS for a second. The driver wanted to get something. We were a mile down afterwards. He stops the car. He says, my wallet's gone. I'm not moving till I get my wallet. Well, we said, Uli, the plane's leaving in 45 minutes. I'm going to miss my son's wedding. He says, I'm sorry. I'm not going anywhere till I get my wallet. All of a sudden, the phone rings. They found his wallet at the CVS. We go back. We get the wallet. We shoot to the airport, we make the wedding, and I was able to dance at my son's wedding because of you. He says, how did you know that I returned this? They told him, well, when you bought your toothpaste, whatever you bought that day, they said you had this card. You know, the, which card? CVS card. You struck the... We told them the time and place when it happened. I called them out. I said, who returned the wallet? They said, yeah, we remember a man returning a wallet. And they were able to find exactly who you were. I told them we're related. They gave me a number. And I'm calling to thank you. This is a ripple effect of the goodness of our deeds. All good things that we do. You know, we get together here. We're making bake sales and auctions. And people work hard and tirelessly to help schools, to help organizations. It's difficult. You know, Siyata Dishmaya comes the most when things are tough. When it's a challenge, you know, they call you up, you want to host this, you want to do that, and we're like, you know, leave me alone now. I have too many things in my life. You know, I can't. And when we take upon ourselves to do for others when it's difficult, this is the breeds the biggest Siyata Dishmaya. All of a sudden, the doors open up. Things that we never thought we could do, we do. All this, I don't know how I have time for all this. You know, someone said I started working in Bikur Cholim. I didn't have any time, free time. They begged me to work. I do it. All of a sudden now, I'm running a whole division in Bikur Cholim, and I'm doing a business, and I'm this, and I'm that. I don't know how in the world I'm doing it. The answer is because you put up in a difficult time. You got Siyata Dishmaya. You said yes, although it's hard. And this is the key to success. So, key to success in life depends on one thing. Siyata Dishmaya. Heavenly help. That's what we want. And how do we get heavenly help? First of all, we know Hashem is always doing everything. Hashem, you're helping me. We ask for His help. I need you now. I need you. Please help me. There's no shoo-in. There's no guarantees. We always feel humbled and we request. We try our hardest to impress Him, to do good for Him. And the more we conceal our actions and try to only please Him, really the more blessing that will come down. And everybody here should always see tremendous amount of siyata dishmaya, blessing, good things always. Amen.